Johnny Hacksaw, and this is the Hacksaw Radio Show. You are currently tuned in to episode 13. It is Thursday the 15th, and this is, of course, episode 13. As always, you can grab episodes of Hacksaw Radio in MP3 format off of hacksawradio.com. That's HAXORRADIO. And you can also listen to the telephonic versions of the old Hacksaw Laser and Hacksaw Radio shows. We don't do the lasers no more, but we've kept all of the episodes that we did do over there on the laser systems. The directory for those is 206-888-5819, which is also the Hacksaw Radio news line. You can always go over there and call over there to see if we came out with a new episode, and then come up to HacksawRadio.com and grab them. You can also grab episodes of Hacksaw off of audio.textfiles.com/shows/Hacksaw Radio. And you can grab them off of hbx.us/Hacksaw, H-A-X-O-R. Tonight on the show, we are going to be having wireless and wireless access points with Chaz and Nexus. And on the phone with us tonight is Hairball.
What's up?
We got Avid.
Hey, what's up?
We got our guest, Nexus.
What's up?
And Chaz.
On.
Nothing much. Just really quick, we're going to have Hairball go into updates for us. With Hope and HBX. Hairball?
Okay, first and foremost, what time is it on the East Coast right now?
East Coast is like 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, wow, we're starting late today.
Yep.
Okay, first and foremost would be the HBX donations. Around the 2nd of July, we started a donation drive for a new shell server. It's quite a ways on its way. As of today, we have nearly $500, which would be one quarter of what we need.
Nice.
At this rate, we should have the full amount in about 1 or 2 months, which is a little faster than I expected. Last few days, I've gotten quite a few PayPal donations. We got a couple Newegg gift certificates, and most recently, I got over $138 at Hope. And I actually did, on behalf of HBX, attend Hope. I met up with the Spastic from RootHackers.com. I met up with Mad Skills of East Coast Hackers. And I met up with Zach of Hack This Site. I got to spend some quality time with Zach. I helped man his table. We were giving out some Republican National Convention information. We were giving out some political information, and I was collecting donations for HBX, and it was a pretty cool thing. We ended up exploring the hotel. We actually made it all the way up to the elevator room, and pretty soon there's going to be some pictures on the Internet of the whole Hope experience. Just give me about 2 or 3 days to finish formatting them and putting them through Photoshop and cleaning them up and everything. Seeing how I had a cheap digital camera, they were kind of blurry and whatnot, but it's all good. Met an old friend at the 5th Hope, Mike Calling of Telerama. Anyone who's listened to episode 11 will know what I'm talking about. And he gave me a challenge. He said, well, we have our servers up this year, and actually at H2K2 in 2002, I was the only one at the convention that hacked both of the servers they had there, and he basically challenged me to do it again. This year, instead of having a Linux server for the main server, they had a FreeBSD server, which makes things considerably more difficult. You know, having ran HBX as a FreeBSD system, I was intimately familiar with the operating system, as was my core administrator, Nexus, who actually helped me do the whole Hope thing this year. But their actual client machines were Linux. They had a very simple client-server thing going on. The clients were 46 machines, and they were running the X11 client and connecting to the FreeBSD machine as a server. And doing this in such a way where you didn't need to have very much power on the client machine because it was running all the applications on the server. The first thing that I noticed is that the client machines were running a bootloader called Grub with no password protection. I didn't know Grub. I actually know very, very little about Linux, being a FreeBSD person. But I did read the help menus, and I discovered they had a cat command. And apparently there was no discrimination on users and permissions and whatnot. And it did allow me to cat the shadow file. The problem with that is I did not have a machine with me, much less a fast machine capable of cracking the file, so I went ahead and fired it off via email to Nexus. And Nexus, how fast did that crack?
Approximately 6 hours. It was a standard DES key.
Okay, so he fired back an email telling me what the password was, and I logged into it and looked around and everything. And only after I informed the administrator, you know, which you can do if he knows you're hacking your system, it's okay to let him know how far you're getting. Shortly after I cracked the, or Nexus cracked the shadow file, he informed me that I did things the hard way. Apparently, you know, me not being familiar with Linux, I didn't know this, but you can pass the init equals slash bin slash sh parameter to the Linux kernel, and it'll drop you in as root, bypassing all security, even if it's set to be an insecure terminal. But now that I think back on it, it's actually probably a good thing that I didn't do that right away, because shortly after I informed the administrator that I had root on the machines, he went through and passed and protected all the bootloaders. And had he done that and I was using the bootloaders for root, I would have been locked out at that point. But since I'd actually cracked the password, I'm sorry, Nexus, since Nexus had actually cracked the password, we were able to get back in. And even after he passed and protected the bootloaders, it turns out that Grubs stores the password in plain text in the configuration file. So that was relatively easy to go in and check. And the real chore, of course, is to go after the main server. Who cares if you got access to the client machine? You want access to the server so you can grab the shadow file. Unfortunately, that wasn't as easy. And Nexus, why don't you take over from here?
Well, I mean, basically what we had a FreeBSD server in that situation to where it was not a live IP. So running, you know, a simple bind shell or SSH into it or something of that nature would just not have worked. What we had to turn around and do was use Netcat, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes,
Netcat. All right, yeah, I'm getting a little tired. We used Netcat in one of its lesser documented modes, which where on a machine A, which is the target you're trying to hack, you issue a command which instructs Netcat to connect outward, essentially creating a telnet, or like basically a reverse telnet connection. On the on your machine B, you set the Netcat to listen for this incoming connection. When the connection is established, instead of it being to where data is passed from machine A to B, it's passed from B to A. So you have this lovely outgoing connection which breaks through pretty much all firewalls. So you can have a way in if it's a NAT situation or a firewall situation, because most firewalls will allow you to use established connections and related connections to pass information back and forth. It's the way that like HTTP works and other protocols. You have to be able to send data both ways. And so in that method, we were able to connect into the machine. After we were in, I tried some real basic stuff. There were a couple things running as root that probably shouldn't have been, that if I would have taken more time to research them, I probably could have found a way to gain root access. Some really cruddy bash scripts that I probably could have exploited. Quickly
probably
found out
is the key word in this case.
Yeah,
probably.
We most likely actually, they were exploitable.
Yeah, we actually didn't make it this year.
Yeah. There, it is a possibility we did, but I'm not sure because I lost all connectivity. I think I rebooted the box somehow. And
yeah, exactly how that happened. You were running an exploit, and it gave
an
you a root prompt.
Yeah, I was running an exploit designed against the 4.7 release of FreeBSD. This is 4.10. Supposedly this is a bug that was fixed, the file system bug. Supposedly it's been fixed. But I ran it. I ran an ID. I got, ID equals root, UID 0.
So it looked like you had it.
Yeah, it looked like I had root. Shortly after that, like right after I ran that command, I lost all connectivity to the box. I fired up, because I had lost connectivity a bunch of times, so I figured nothing big. Fired up the Netcat binary again to listen, because we had basically a never-ending loop in a bash script that was calling the Netcat binary to establish the outgoing connection. It never did connect back to us. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if we gained root and the administrator rebooted the box on us or killed our processes or what happened.
Or it could have been a kernel panic, too.
Yeah, I could have panicked the kernel. It could have died. I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. And that's why I'm going to claim that we did not root the boxes here, because I have no verification, no proof.
Right. And that just goes to testify how secure FreeBSD is. I mean, hell, you being an administrator of HBX, you should know that operating system inside and out.
Yeah, it took me approximately 6 hours to get that far. A lot of research and looking for, you know, SUID binaries and stuff. Not a lot there. FreeBSD is pretty secure out of the box, and this guy had gone through and secured it even further. So I'm just not sure what happened. But, you know, at this point, we're going to claim it's a no-root situation. We lost this year.
Yeah, well,
you know,
hell, man,
year,
FreeBSD.
You know, next year, we're not only going to own the Hope Network, we're going to own the hotel.
Oh, don't do that. No, he's just joking.
Yeah. Don't worry, Pat.
No, but, I mean, how many people were involved in this? I mean, obviously I was there, but didn't you get a bunch of people on this, too?
Well, you were there for a little while. Let's put it that. You fired up the shell script and then ran off to Kinko.
Right, I had to. I mean, I was the one, I was the guy that was actually at site that was able to get you through the firewall.
Yeah, that was able to get us in. After that, I brought in a lot of people from Undernet and FNet. I had probably approximately 12 to 13 people at any given time working on this project. That just goes to show you that it's a relatively secure operating system. We had people that, you know, people from Scope 6, which, you know, is probably known to most of the listeners, from Scope 6 helping out, people from other groups, not to be mentioned, were helping out, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, you know, we lost. You know, next year it's ours.
Well, I don't know, man. If they use FreeBSD again, it's going to be a chore. I think next year, though, not sure if it's going to be 1 or 2 years this time, but I think we should just make it a mission where do nothing but. Because, you know, I was motivated, but I actually had other responsibilities. I had to be at vendors in the morning. I had to go to Kinko's and run off some flyers for the political movement I was working on.
Well, and due to some outstanding situations here on my end, I was not able to attend Hope. I will be there next year, and so I will have physical access to the network. And you know, if you get physical access to a box, you're pretty much in.
Right, but that's like kind of cheating, though, you know? I was a console, but still. I could have very easily rebooted and dropped in the single user mode or stuck in a boot disk, but that's just cheating.
Yeah, I know, that is cheating, but, you know, and if all else fails, I'm just going to go find the server box, so work on some social engineering, create a distraction, keep people away from it, and root it that way. I'll just sit down at the server and root it.
I could have did that, though, but I felt like it was wrong, you know?
Well,
I mean, what I really wanted was a shadow file, because H2K2, I had my laptop, I didn't have a printer with me, but I actually cracked the file with John the Ripper and converted it with a quick basic program I wrote to a really nice, you know, text report. And I went to the retro computing section and jacked one of their dot matrixes, hooked the cable up to it and printed it out and hung it on the wall in the elevator, and everyone thought that was cool as shit. And I want to do it again this year, but no go, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it will be done next Hope. It's not possible. It will be done.
We'll get the whole fucking Scope 6 crew. You know, we'll get the whole.
There will be cash bounties posted if we can't get it. I will post like $100-$200 cash bounty if you can get me the shadow file. I am not kidding.
All points bulletin.
Internet
wide.
You know, if I have to, I'll figure out a way into, like, I'll bring a bullhorn if I have to.
Hackers of the world unite.
Ooh. Okay, anyway. We talked for the last 20 minutes about how we failed at hacking something. We'll try to get on with the show.
Yeah. We failed miserably in the story. All right.
We put a lot of effort into it, though.
Yeah. Well, at least we got people thinking, you know, and like, actively, you know, getting into some legal hacking.
That's one cool thing about it is it's legit, you know.
And not only that, you got to really bone up your skills on it legally.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yeah, I spent a long time. I spent at least 8 hours myself on that project. I mean, and that 8 hours was more than just looking. I mean, I was actually. Running Seward route.
You don't have to worry about being traced.
You know?
All right. Anyway.
Wireless access points. Chaz, are you still here with us?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God.
Oh, thank God, yes. Oh, man. Oh. going on with you, Chaz?
Not much, really.
Where do you want to start with wireless access points? Like, what's on your mind with wireless?
Now, keep in mind, everyone and their brother has done a wireless show before. We've got to kick up the notch and do some really hardcore shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's raise the bar.
I got a good starting point.
I kind of do, too, myself.
Well, let's hear them. See where we're going.
Okay. I'm thinking, how did you first get in the wireless, and how has it changed since you were first introduced to it? What was your starting point, Johnny?
Mine?
All right.
So what were you
going to
ask?
Well, I was just going to go in real quick that Verizon Wireless, they will not have wireless for a little while. They won't have any wireless access points, like, at their central offices, because a friend of mine who's a COEI for Verizon Wireless, they turned around and down in the city of, New York, Bronx, and Brooklyn, at those central offices, when they installed the wireless networks, they actually couldn't function because it interfered with the switches.
Huh.
Yeah. So, Verizon Wireless, their central offices, is without wireless access at this time. And then Verizon turned around and sent an internal memo stating that, that for other central offices are not to install wireless networks until, the problem is solved.
Well, damn, it's a central office. I'm sure they got enough wires in there where wireless isn't really necessary.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they wanted it for, the field techs, the linemen.
All the little
war drivers, Make the switch that much easier.
Right. Do you know anything else about what kind of, kind of hardware they were using or anything like that?
Let's see. Actually, no, I don't. He was installing all the equipment, all the antennas. He was running the cables. Pretty much everything. And he said that when they fired that puppy up, there was getting big interference from from switches or from power stations.
See, now that actually leads me to believe they probably have really old switching equipment.
Right.
This does bring something to me, or something that I just thought of. It could be that, was it interfering with the switch, or was it interfering with the wireless access?
It was interfering with the wireless.
All right, well, if it was interfering with the wireless, it could have been simply because, everyone knows they have obscene amounts of batteries and converters
right.
and shit in the COs, and I've had personal experience with running battery backup systems. I have a UPS device here, and if I get the, which is extremely low power, but if I get the wireless access point too close to it, there's a lot of interference. They have, their wireless, battery backups, I have a system here that'll support two computers and, all my networking equipment for about 12 hours.
Right.
Their stuff is making, mine look like, a little hamster in a wheel, and where they're running like some sort of big block Chevy. It's almost no comparison. So, it's got to be putting off all sorts of, radio interference.
But what was really funny about that?
They
turned around and they sunk about $3 million into the project to get it started.
Well,
and they ended up having to scrap it. So Verizon threw away $3 million. Yay!
It just proves that, big companies are fucking stupid. If they would have gone out to Walmart or whatever and invested in a $30 or $40 access point and walked around in it and see if it worked.
Yeah, they didn't do that either.
Yeah, they're idiots. I would have thought of that one.
What were you going to say, Chad?
What I'm actually curious about is when was this? Is it 802.11a area or 802.11b or what I mean?
Yeah, what time frame ago did this happen?
Right, exactly. Because
this actually was about 7-8 months ago.
Oh really?
Oh
happened.
Wow!
Yeah, 7 or 8 months ago.
See,
wow.
I've heard of schools like they get all these Dells right, and they have access points throughout the whole school. And then they throw away these optical mouses and buy ball mouses because they say it interferes with the wireless network.
Wow.
Optical mouses. That sounds like bullshit to me.
Yeah, that's
really bullshit. It does, and I can't quote that, it's actually like that, but to me it sounds like a bullshit story.
Right.
But
yeah.
People swear by it. But people really swear by it. So, you know.
What kind of mouse was it? I mean, if it was infrared.
Just like a Dell optical mouse, you know? Like
just straight up optical mouse
with
a cord?
I'm sorry?
Just a straight up optical mouse with a cord?
Yeah.
Like corded? See, I don't see how that would interfere because you're talking about an LED light, you know, which is basically no difference. It's got an LED light and a receiver, and it just tracked, which is the same exact thing that every other mouse has. They've got LEDs and receivers, and it's just bridging across. It's got little, if you ever tore a mouse apart, it's got little wheels in there with slots in it. It's measuring the breakup on it.
Right.
I don't know. Hey, let's talk about something cool. This is just boring me.
Anyway, schools with wireless. School here in town. You drive by it with Kismet running, because I refuse to run Windows on a laptop. Drive by with Kismet running, and I picked up 47 unique access points inside of one school.
Okay. Holy shit.
How are those late? Yeah, a typical school out here will have about 14 access points.
So you only need like two or three if they're strategic.
Well, I know. That's what gets me. It's 47 access points, and they're labeled to the point where...
They'll be fighting over channels. They'll be throwing top of it.
Like, the ones out here are, it's called Clark County School District, so it's like Clark County, is like CCSD, and then the number of the school, and then underscore, and the number of the access point.
And here, I live in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, which, you know, I really don't care who knows where I live. I live in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and it's in Mount Pleasant School District, and so they're labeled MP underscore ELM for elementary, because the elementary was the one I cruised by with, like, 47. And then it gives one number, which I'm assuming is the floor, because there's three levels to the elementary. And I was seeing 1, 2, and 3. And then there's different numbers associated, which I don't know if they're room numbers or locations or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something I noticed. And then I also noticed there are huge Wi-Fi antennas on the top of the schools pointed all at the central office building.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, they're not using wired LAN anymore. They're using totally wireless to, integrate all the school's networks. I had a building bracket. I've tried.
They actually use web keys.
Yeah, they are using web, and they're using something else. I think it's the Cisco proprietary.
WP or WPA
I'm not sure. I haven't really poked at it much. I just kind of gave up because there's more interesting stuff here in town to play with.
What kind of equipment were they using?
As far as I know, Cisco.
Cisco, okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the network out here in Las Vegas, because, I'm sure you guys are going to come out here for DEF CON.
Oh, yeah.
Or you'll be out here sometime. We have a huge school district out here at Clark County, probably about, 100 schools. And like I said, all of them are wireless. All the schools are actually on the OC. Well, it's pretty lame, actually. It's one OC3 shared at a central office on Flamingo. And all the schools actually are just bridged together with 11 MIP wireless connection. So it gets pretty slow and laggy at certain times or whatever. But what's real funny is if you set up a server at one school, you can access it through any school, any computer you can access through any school in Las Vegas.
That sounds pretty insecure.
Now, are they running WEP or anything?
No, there's no WEP on their wireless. It's open. The only thing that you actually have to do to actually even surf the internet is set up through their proxy. And their proxy setup is proxy.ccsd.net. And everything runs on port 80. So basically, it's free internet. If you live close enough to a school, it's free internet. But they do filter out a lot of stuff, porn.
Well, it's probably best proxy for porn and such.
Right.
Also, anti-governmental propaganda, it'll filter out also. here in town, it's all webbed, so I can't really play with the school. However, other interesting networks, the cops here in town use Wi-Fi. Dead serious, they're wearing Wi-Fi. It's not 802.11 A, B, or G. It's something else. I know it's Wi-Fi. It's a definite 2.4 gigahertz antenna on the cars, and they all have walkabout computers, which I've talked about before with most of you people. Walkabout Computers. It's walkaboutcomputing.com or something of that nature. They're basically computers built for high-stress, high-endurance environments. You can throw them against a wall, and they will live. I mean, you can run them over. You can leave them. You can hose them with a, you know, you can douse them with a hose, drop them in the toilet. They're dustproof, waterproof, et cetera. They're mounted in the cars. They can pull them out of the cars, walk to your car. They have a mag strip reader on the side to scan your license, and then it comes back with everything on you. And so I've been trying to figure out what's going on with them. I don't know if I really want to dive too deep into it because, you know, it's probably a massive crime to crack this stuff. You know, I figured it would be something to look at.
I'd be interested. I'd definitely be interested in bringing on anyone that knew a lot about actually just, you know, how the cops are, you know, how the system works, because I've always been fascinated but too scared to really, you know, poke in a cop's car and ask them too many questions about, where is that, you know what I mean?
Hey, you start asking questions, they start looking at you, then you got to deal with
them. Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and they start kind of, you know, like, well, wait, what's your name? You know, and
yeah.
So, I've always really kind of wanted to ask, and because I'm not exactly sure how their system works. However, out here, I believe they're basically on, like, a dedicated, like, a mobile phone, basically, that dials up, that's always dialed up, and is on, like, a slow 28K, you know, connection, basically.
I say, out here, there's, it's definitely 2.4 gigahertz, because of the antenna on the back of the car. So I know it's 2.4, so I mean, we're talking 802.11 A or G ranges. Mm-hmm. Just from the size, because, you know, I'm into ham radio, and so I can kind of recognize antennas. I also took a measurement of an antenna when the cop was in the donut shop, so I measured the antenna. Sitting out there.
So
does
the cop network show up on Kismet when you drive by?
No, I don't get anything. I get strange status from the AeroNet card, which I don't know if it's picking up goofy signals from the cop network or what it's picking up. So, you know, it's only picking something up. I just don't know what it is. You know, I've tried sitting, like, right outside the police station and just running just a raw dump off the card, and I haven't picked anything up. You know, nothing that would be considerable as actual data. You know, a lot of just random trash, which, you know, it could be fully encrypted, and it could be just all that random trash I'm picking up.
Right.
You know, again, I don't know. You know, I'm assuming, you know, if it's a cop network, it's probably set up by some big vendor, and therefore it's not probably WEP. It's probably something a little more hardcore. You'd hope, anyway.
Some proprietariness.
Yeah. I mean, you'd hope it's a little more hardcore than maybe WEP, you know, where the cops have all your personal data on
mm-hmm.
just some crappy 64-bit WEP. You know, that's something I've seen. You know, around here, I mean, everything around in my area is open WEP. All the businesses, all the major manufacturing areas here use wireless, and it's all open. There's very few places that use WEP. And the companies that do use WEP usually have three or four access points that aren't WEP because either they forgot them or, you know,
yeah.
lazy admins or, you know, people wanting to bring home computers in just to say when to crap on them. And so I have pretty much free run of about every major business here in town. One of the banks has a wireless access point, which I'm not getting anywhere near.
Oh, my God, a bank? That's got to be free.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I'm not getting anywhere near it. I don't know if it's a honeypot or what it is. I'm staying the hell away from it.
Yeah, man, that's fucked up.
The hospital has open wireless. You know, everyone's just too trusting. And then we have a wireless internet provider here in town that Hairball was actually with me when we, you know, socialed some information out of them before they started kind of, you know, asking what the hell's going on here. Yeah, they were kind of figuring out what we were asking questions about, but
they have a freaking tower on one of the jails. That's funny.
Yeah, there's a tower on the jail, a tower on the hospital, which is not connected with the hospital's wireless, and a tower on another end of town. And what we discerned from the phone call is all it uses is Mac-based fingerprinting. So what you do is you drive to, you know, the one on the other end of town, you sniff the air, find a Mac address that works, change your Mac on your computer, drive to the other end of town. There you go, free internet access. You know?
And if you find someone who's in a static location who's using the wireless from home on Tower 2, and you live, you know, within range of Tower 3, you can do that indefinitely.
Oh, yeah, and they never catch on. The problem is where I live, I don't have a clean signal to them. and so I have to drive to get it. But, you know, that's for doing other things that we won't really talk about here. You know, mostly downloading all my porn. But, I mean, it's a relatively decent service. And, if I was close enough, I'd honestly look into it because it seems viable because I could cruise around town and use my wireless, all over town. There's only a couple blackout holes here in town, but, let's see.
Wireless, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just...
Well, with wireless being, so widely adopted, and you're in a really small city, and you're such a small city, you got access to all these businesses. You got to imagine what this is going to be like all over the U.S. like this.
Well, I know. I mean, I live in a town. The population is probably 25 to 30,000 people. All right? It's not a small town, but if you're on the East Coast, it's small. In the area I live, it's a medium-sized town. I grew up in a town where the population was, I kid you not, 36 people.
Holy shit.
All right. Remember, I live in Iowa. I live in the sticks. I won't deny it. But driving around town here, I can, on any given day, I can drive around town with my Toshiba Satellite Pro 420 CDT, which is a 100 megahertz processor and 40 megs of RAM, with a Cisco Aeronet 350 LMC card, which I will plug those Cisco cards the day I die. I have used everything else, and everything else kind of sucks. The nice thing about Cisco cards, if you don't know, you don't have to screw around with channels because the Cisco card automatically listens on all channels.
Wow.
So you don't have to mess around with, jump into channel 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. It listens on all of them. When you establish a connection to a server or to an access point or to an ad hoc network, it locks on a channel, but it will monitor all channels at once. Driving around town, I can pick up approximately 1,000 access points. Of those 1,000, maybe 50 or 60 are webbed.
Oh, fuck.
Right. And if you really monitor them, it really changes. People are getting smarter. But it's just nowhere, fast enough.
Well, yeah, and like right now I'm actually looking at the screen because I have the little 5.5 dBi gain antenna in my window, and I'm looking at it, and three of my neighbors have wireless networks, and one of them is actually cruising right now, and of course I'm sniffing his traffic because I'm just that kind of person, because it is public airways, and it's not illegal to sniff traffic off public airways. But I'm watching it, and I mean, you can gather passwords, you can gather anything you want off the off of a wireless network. If someone logs into, say, a porn site where they're having to use a username and password. Sure, it might be HTTPS, a secure layer, but that password is being sent plain text.
Nice.
Have it right off the airwaves. Yeah, it's plain text being sent. When you log into a member site with where some of the member sites use an Apache login where it pops up the window asking you for authentication, that's plain text. And it's an actual built-in thing, like it's a PHP script or something on the site. Usually not plain text. Usually not. I've actually tried a couple of those on my end, and those are usually encrypted. But
really,
it's
with the site or?
Yeah, with the site. If they're running an HTTPS,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say HTTPS.
Yeah, an SSL layer, that's usually encrypted. But if you're connecting to an SSL-enabled site and it's using just a standard Apache Realm authentication where it's asking you, popping up the window asking you if you're using your password, that is always sent plain text.
I didn't know that.
So you can sniff those right off the air or right off the wire if you happen to be on a wired network. Sniff them right off it.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't paid for porn in a long time. I don't believe in paying for it anymore.
I've never paid for porn.
I paid for it back in the day when I was still stupid. But, no, I mean, you can sit here and, I grab my laptop, I walk, through the house into the kitchen, put it in the kitchen window. I pick up three entirely different access points. And that's just how dense my town is. And the big thing is, people are buying crap from, Circuit City and Best Buy, and they're pushing this wireless on them. If you buy from Dell anymore, unless you, they're going to push you to buy a wireless router. And even if you have a desktop system, they're going to try to get you to buy a wireless router and wireless stuff. It's one of the little add-ons they can screw you out of another $200 for.
Yeah, is Verizon, I think Verizon for a while there was giving away free wireless routers, weren't they? With new DSL customers?
I'm not sure about that one.
I think they were in my area anyway.
Yeah, see, we don't have Verizon here. We have Quest and local CLX and such. But, you know, it's so insecure. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And then you have people using it for such mission critical tasks.
Yeah. The best wireless access point I found yet in a church.
Really?
The SSID was Satan.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, that was probably hacked, though.
Yeah, it had to have been hacked, but it was still funny as hell. And then, Chad, you live in Vegas. Have you ever wardrobe up and down the strip?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you get?
All the casinos have wireless. You know, tons. You drive down the strip, and you're just bombarded with so many different, you know, access points. And some of them have web keys, but typically, you know, most of them don't. It's all that, you know, if you live in Vegas, that's all you're really going to do is ward drive. Because there's just so many different access points. You know, it's just, you know, pointless just to even mess with one.
No.
Unless you're really targeting a small business or whatever.
Well, here's a question. You said a lot of them aren't webbed. And you're saying a lot of the casinos have them. Are they connected for access for customers of the casino, or are they, you know, for casino business?
It really depends. A lot of them, you know, are just for customers and stuff like that. But some of them, some of them are for, you know, computers that they have where, you know, instead of running Ethernet, they're just, you know, busted up a wireless network.
That's scary.
And usually unwept, right? No web?
Right. Usually unwept. Like I said, I have seen them wept before, but as we all know, a web key is not hard to crack.
Yeah, I mean, what?
You know, any computer. Right, any computer that, you know.
Well, a lot of our listeners out there aren't going to be really familiar with cracking a web key. So, Chaz, how hard is it?
The simplest way, I would say, for a lamer or someone that wasn't really familiar to crack a web key is to use Kismet for the. For Linux, which they're not going to be running Linux or BSD if they're not really familiar with web, probably. So I would say the easiest and script kiddie most like is would probably be KissMac, which is for the Macintosh, which is, you know, really easy to use.
And they currently don't have a Windows version, sadly.
Right. They don't have a Windows version. And KissMac is really great. There's some other ones like Mac Stumbler and whatever, but KissMac is really the best wireless. It's really, I mean, I don't want to get into trying to promote the Mac or whatever, but
at this point we should point out that Chaz is a Mac guy.
Just a little bit.
He's a little fanatical. But, another easy way is AirSnort. I'm sure you've seen that. I'm pretty sure they have a port of AirSnort now to Windows. Basically, fire it up and let it run. What happens is when a client is talking to an access point or an ad hoc network, real quick side note, if you don't know what ad hoc is, ad hoc is two client ad-hoc. Cards talking to each other. Oh, ad hoc, whatever. I call it ad hoc. Oh. Sue me. It's two clients talking to each other. Pretty much no infrastructure, no access point involved.
That's the equivalent of a crossover cable.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But, scenario. Chaz and Hairball are cruising the web looking at, you know, porn, MP3s, whatever. They're cruising the web. They're going to generate a couple weak packets an hour. And those are just badly encrypted packets, which you can easily use to crack. And with AirSnort, you're going to gather those weak packets, and then it's going to bust out the key for you. On a busy network, you can do it in 2 or 3 days. On a real slow network where no real traffic moves, don't even bother. It's not worth your time.
Right.
So even with this method, it takes a very long time to crack, though.
Right. Unless it is a super busy network. See, the thing is, it's not like a shadow password. We could take it home and crack it on a supercomputer. You actually have to be there to crack it.
Yeah, because you have to grab the packets out of the air.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to crack it while you're there.
You know,
so,
let's see.
What I would recommend is a G4 PowerBook. But anyways, no. You definitely need something powerful to crack the web key. Otherwise, it's going to take a while because, like I said, you can't just take home and crack it. You actually have to be there. There's a couple different ways you can try to crack it. You can try a simple brute force crack, right? Yeah, exactly.
How does brute forcing work? I mean, does that generally take quicker or longer than the pull the packets out of the air and look for the weakies?
It really depends. I'm sure Chaz will agree. If it's a busy network, you're wasting your time brute forcing. If it's a network that has one client that connects, once every 4 or 5 hours, you're screwed. You're not going to grab any weak packets. If you do, they're going to be so few, far in between. Brute forcing, because if you think about it, there's a couple trillion possibilities on a 128-bit WIP. So it's not even really worth trying to brute force unless you really went into that network and you got a lot of time on your hands.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's something real new,
it's definitely doing, for something local or whatever, your next-door neighbor, maybe he has a web key, and you really want to use his connection to download, your porno and whatever.
We all go back to porn, and that's what the internet is. It's no longer a medium to transfer information. It's a medium to transfer
I think they're considering renaming it to the porn net. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere. I think it's the...
I also heard their thing about the TLD.porn.
Don't you own that?
Actually, I do, through Open Root Project.
Right.
But if they actually take it for serious use, I lose it.
No, man, it's true the shit. Anyway, we're working off topic.
Yeah, off topic.
So what's some of the more extremely advanced stuff that you don't hear about? Because people who already know a little bit about wireless might be aware of all the stuff we discussed already. What's kind of like the cutting-edge stuff out there?
Hang on. Who dropped?
Abbott.
Chaz?
Oh, we didn't lose Chaz, did we?
Yeah, you did.
Okay,
let me
call him back. I haven't been
reading.
Yeah.
They're
back.
Only on episode
13. Yeah. So what were you saying now, next?
Actually, no, I don't. What's his number?
Alright. Go ahead and name it.
Wait a minute, I remember, hold on.
Okay. Now what were you saying, Nexus?
About what?
About, some more advanced things that you can do with wireless. For our new listeners and stuff.
What's the last four of his number?
Harold, get your computer. I'll just aim it.
Don't have my computer on.
All right, we're gonna have to edit then. It's you got the first.
Yeah,
right.
What's the last four?
0285.
Now, for our new listeners and stuff, what can they do with wireless, what would be some of the uses for wireless?
A lot of uses for wireless. I mean, say if you're out and doing something else and you want to check your email,
When you have finished recording, press pound.
He's not answering.
Oh, great. All right, so I guess he's gone.
Just hold the show. We'll wait for him. We can edit later.
Oh, we can edit?
Yeah, let's just cut. Let's just bullshit for a bit until he comes back online. Can you aim him? I want to see if he drops off one more time.
Offline. He's on an aim, dude. He is not on aim.
Well, we'll consider him gone then. So, go ahead and go back to it.
Yeah. More advanced uses. I mean, the more mundane stuff. You can check your email while you're out and about. It provides an almost anonymous way because, it's going to be a real pain in the butt to track back. I mean, say if you want to do some illegal activity online, just go find an open access point, connect into it, and use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have any connection really with that person that's running that access point.
Right.
And so, you know, forget using proxies, et cetera. Just go find a wireless access point. I mean, really, wireless has almost rendered proxies, you know, worthless anymore.
Right.
You know, because you don't have to deal with the latency of proxies, et cetera, et cetera. You just connect right in and go. You can also use wireless access points. You know, say if a company, I'm not naming names here, but a company here in town that I'm close to has an open wireless access point, and they do mass mailing, and
right.
they also do credit verification, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so right there, you know, credit verification, they're dealing with credit card numbers. You know.
Chaz, you on?
I'm back on.
All right, welcome great. Back, Chaz. We're talking about advanced uses for wireless. I'm just saying, you know, the more mundane stuff is, like, out of the way. And I also say that, you know, open wireless access points have rendered proxies pretty much useless.
Right.
You know, however, you know, like I said, a company near me does mass mailing. They also deal with credit reports and things of that nature. And so, you know, there again, old crime, new way to do it.
Right.
You can bust in, steal, you know, credit card information, steal pretty much everything they have, you know, try and use it.
I believe the distinction needs to be made here is that hacking a system when you're on the wireless network is infinitely easier because you're behind any firewalls.
Right.
And you are
yeah.
local to all those machines.
Now,
so,
normally,
you know,
normally.
If you
if
have...
They, I mean, normally, yeah, you're going to be behind their firewall. If they're if they have any sense of intelligence, they're going to put you on a firewall on the wireless access point. I mean, any sense
yeah,
of intelligence.
Yeah, but generally,
there,
though, if a company is putting up a wireless access point for themselves, they can't do that. They need
yeah.
to have it connected to their own machines.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, you know, 90 times out of 100, probably 95 times out of 100, that you have an access point, it's unprotected, you're on the local area network, and that means...
Yeah.
That
yeah,
if and any machine, even one machine in the entire network is behind security patches, you own it.
Mm.
And anything that's on there, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Right now,
yeah.
corporate America is just it's a big pussy waiting to be
yeah,
fun,
I mean,
you know?
I mean, pretty much, you know, they've all locked down their front doors, but, you know, in effect, they've, you know, neglected the, you know, the screen door in the back with no latch on it.
Right.
You can walk in, do anything you want right now. The only exception to this I've seen, Motorola has a plant here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And when you connect to their wireless access point, there's no web involved, which I thought, wow, you know, right there, source for fun.
Right.
So I connected in, and no matter what I did, I kept getting a message. It was redirecting all ports to this message, where it was saying I had to authenticate.
Hmm.
You know, so there, you know, there's
well,
intelligence, you know, on some of these people.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now, what type of authentication, like, be it like, I don't know, like a cookie or password authentication, or?
It was a password authentication. It gave you a link to a website on their internal network,
right.
where you were issued a 10.10 address,
mm-hmm.
which I'm pretty sure isn't their actual internal network addressing. They're probably using that for you know, unauthenticated hosts, because I've seen that a lot, where until you're authenticated, you're given a bullshit little kind of closed net IP,
right.
and then you had to authenticate to this site. You had to give, what?
A radius server?
It wasn't really a radius, and that's what was weird. It was something else. You went to this website. It was PHP. I pretty much figured that one out, but it asked for a username.
Mm-hmm.
And a badge ID, which is the kicker,
right.
and
like
a password.
Your ID, like a pennant with a number changes on a regular basis.
Well,
yeah, I don't know. What I'm wondering is, everyone who works
as a radio server is the only way you can really the only thing you can actually run over wireless now, where you can actually have an actual server, you know, which is a radio server, just like a dial-up server, and there's usernames and passwords. So no one else really has your username and password. Also, they monitor, well, this person was logged on for this long, and, you know, they can't really monitor what you've done or whatever, but what they can monitor is, you know, the IP that it was given to you.
The IP
and so forth.
The MAC address and such.
So that's what it might have been. I'm not sure if you're familiar
yeah.
with over wireless.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was asking for a badge ID, which I'm pretty sure. I know everyone that works over there, they have DNA access locks on the doors, and every which if you're not familiar with DNA access locks, they're basically a little credit card-like little cards you carry around, taps in front of a black box near the door and unlocks the door for you.
Don't you mean proximity HID?
Could be. They're DNA here. It's called DNA access locks, or DNA access.
DNA's probably a brand name, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's a proximity, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
But on these cards, there's your employee number, which I'm pretty sure is your ID number, and your picture, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so if I could get my hands on some of this, I could test out some theories on it, because I'm pretty sure your username is probably, you know, John.Smith or J. Smith or something simple. But then I don't know how that system works. I don't really want to play with it because I'm pretty sure it's watched, you know, considering the security they have going.
Anytime, you know, they put that much effort into, you know, a system, it's always monitored.
Yeah, and that's why I want to stay away from that one. You know, but a lot of the other places, you know, Walmart, every Walmart across the country uses open wireless, usually open wireless. Here, it's open. We have a new Supercenter. It is open wireless. I sit out in the parking lot, and I cruise the Internet on Walmart's, you know, dollar.
And how do you know if you're assigned an internal IP address, or is it behind some kind of firewall?
It's behind something. I don't know. I tried scanning out the entire range, didn't find anything open.
Is it a 192 or a 10?
The IP was actually 10.1.1.32 or
34. Definitely something special, because I know Walmart. Every single Walmart in the entire world is on one massive 10-base network, or 10-dot network. And so if you had 10.1, that was definitely, you know, something special just for the wireless.
Yeah, and I know it was probably wireless, because the gateway was like 10.1.1.1. I tried scanning the entire range, tried ping sweeping it. Only thing I found there was the access point and me.
Right.
And the Walmart, and then, they were using Cisco, right? 340,
yes.
Or 350,
yeah.
Probably 350 now.
Yeah, yeah, 350s. And then I did a trace route, and I found some of the 10.10s in there. Couldn't really do a lot with them because it was some sort of firewall, you know, keep me from really playing around. I'm sure they know this stuff's open, so they're not really, you know, trusting it. Walmart is so far open. You know, if you can bust in it and crack open like a gift registry thing, plug an access point into that one, there you go, you're on the internal network.
I believe we spoke about that before in a different show of Hacksore.
Right. Yeah, that was actually an idea I think I brought up to you, Hairball.
No, that's
but,
not I brought up to you.
One way or the other. Anyway. But, I mean, you know, everybody's open, and that's the funny part. I'm waiting for, you know, we know Cisco has problems every now and then with their, you know, their security and everything. I'm waiting for something to come out for the new, you know, the new 350 access points. And when that does, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun for me, because I'm going to have some fun.
Because we all know, you know, all of us Cisco and all of us, everyone that's really into wireless kind of knows where, you know, when they see a 350 access point, they know exactly where it's at, you know. Easily, you know, someone could say, well, I could tell you where five Cisco 350s and, you know, 340 access points are, because Cisco is, you know, one of those things. Just, it's not like, oh, well, there's some D-Link access points. Who cares? But the Cisco access points are, you know, are special.
Yeah, I mean, you start dealing with, you know, Cisco access points. They're the real high-dollar access points. I mean, D-Link, Linksys, you know, the other crap brands, I ignore them because they're home users. I mean, you know, big deal. You know, it might be a cable connection. It might be a, you know, 128 ADSL. You know, forget it. It's not worth my time to play with. We start busting into Cisco's and Orinoco's and, you know, the other high-dollar stuff. You know, you know, you're looking at some good stuff, and, you know, there's possibly some fun to be had there.
Yeah. Personally, I've had an Orinoco access point. What have you actually had your hands on?
Like physically or playing around with?
Just maybe your personal use, or yeah, have experience with, or you can actually, you know.
Well, personally, I'm not rich enough to afford Cisco or Orinoco access points. I have Cisco access or Cisco client cards because I love them. But I have found one Orinoco access point, and that was at trying to think where that was. I know where I can pick it up at in Burlington. That's a bigger town near me. I haven't figured out where it is yet because they have a real cryptic SSID on it. it's not, you know, descriptive like, you know, GE or, you know, Walmart 7 or something like that. It's just a string of numbers and letters. It doesn't look, you know, it's not default, so it's been changed. I don't know what it is. I pick it up right in a business district, so who knows?
Well, for those of you that don't really know much about the Anarco access points, I'll go in kind of a small description of them. Actually, what they do is, as where Cisco is, it kind of uses an embedded Cisco card in their 340s with, you know, soldered whatever, and where you can use the antenna. You know, they have the removable dad pole, or the ones that are actually, you know, already on that you can't take them off, the unremovable, the rugged, whatever. Where Anarco's approach is, they actually have PC card slots for the actual cards themselves. So there's actually, typically when it's shipped with one card, you can actually put another card in it, and you can have one card broadcast, you know, on channel like 11, you know, have a card broadcast on any other channel. Or you could have, you know, two cards broadcast, two totally different SSIDs, have two web keys, whatever. It's kind of like two radios. Exactly. And actually, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and it's almost like two access points side by side.
Exactly. It's like I said, it's almost like two access points, but it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's definitely different than anyone else's approach right now as far as wireless. I've actually had a Norco access point, and you know, they broadcast a little farther than Cisco, and definitely anything you could buy at Walmart or Best Buy or, you know, anything else.
Well, and that also warrants a look into the stuff you're going to buy for consumer goods. You're putting anywhere between 50 and maybe 100 milliwatts. All right. Legally, by the FCC, you're allowed to put out 500 milliwatts unlicensed, which means that, you know, you can build a radio or something, and you can broadcast. As long as you don't exceed 500 milliwatts, you're cool. You can do whatever you want. Some of the Orinoco gear is putting out 400, 450 milliwatts, and so we're talking some serious range here. You know, a good 100 milliwatt card, you know, 150 milliwatt card with a decent antenna, you can get 2 or 3 miles with a great antenna. You know, you start busting out, you know, 450, 500, you're busting through the interference. It's normally going to be there. You're having great connections over long distance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Sorry to cut you off there, Chaz.
No problem. I'm actually kind of looking for a phone right now. My cordless is starting to act up.
Uh-oh. And I'm actually in the process of seeing approximately what Orinoco access points are going for at this point.
Really, if anyone, you know, just wants to mess around with them, the good thing to Orinoco, you can get the older ones cheap. Unfortunately, however, there is no website that I've actually found that. There's just open firmware. You actually have to be a member. You have to actually be subscribed. You have to pay their commercial fees just to even, like, get the firmware upgrades for their products.
Yeah, and, you know, and then, Grant, you can probably find this stuff online where somebody else has got it and they're just distributing it.
Right. Well, like I said, so if someone's just, you know, trying to mess around with some wireless learn, I would definitely say you're going to have a lot better time with Cisco than Anarco.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Anarco, it's, you know, Proxima, and, you know, it just changed companies so many times.
Yeah, Lucent had it for a while.
Lucent Technologies.
Lucent was actually the better Orinocos, in my own opinion. I'm looking on eBay here. You can get some crappy home user Orinoco stuff for, I don't know, about $125. You start getting into the higher grade stuff where I've actually come across it. You're looking at about $450 to $500 for an Orinoco access point. You know, so it's not worth it. If you're a home user or someone wants to play with it, don't bother. You can bust that old Cisco stuff for, what, $100, $150 for good stuff. You can bust out a Linksys crappy access point for $60 or $70. You know, you start going down the quality chain, of course, you're losing you know, features and reliability and such. I mean, you can get into, you know, wireless, you know, a home setup for, you know, client card for one computer and an access point, $100-$125 range if you want to go cheap. You know, if you want to go expensive, you know, good antennas, good access points, good cards, you know, $500 to $1,000+.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I mean, a nice Norco. Well, I'm sorry. Like, say a Cisco 340 is going to find on eBay. A 350 is going to run you at least, you know, $300 almost.
Yeah, let me go take a look here. 1 second.
I would, as far as the Norco, if someone's looking to start up or maybe a small business or something like that, or is looking for maybe they have a huge house or whatever, I would definitely recommend Norco 1000 or 2000 series. And I've actually used both of them.
I actually own
the 1000 for a good few months. The 2000 actually played with for a while. If you use a Mac, you can actually, there's a program built in to any Mac user that has a Mac wireless network or whatever. They're going to be familiar.
I'm just laughing at your Mac plugging. I'm looking on eBay, and you're looking, you know, $300 for a 340. You get up to the 550, 600 range for a 350. You know, and then you start busting out the AP342.
Right, you want a bridge, yeah.
Yeah, E2Rs, you know, you're looking at 1000+, easy. And then again, you know, an access point, you know, you can get the best access point in the world, and if you don't have a good antenna, you know, you might as well have bought a $10 piece of crap at a swap meet.
I wanted to say, I know that, right, as far as I know right now, there's nothing really where, there was a small business or something.
And we lost him again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my end. Hold on. Oh, fuck! Oh, crap! Holy shit, that hurt! I'll be back. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to ask what's going on there.
Well, we're not even going to touch that one.
My leg locked up.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God, is that hurt? Okay, it's gone now. Okay, we lost Chaz again.
Well, go ahead and bring him back on.
Well, he has to call me, and that's how we did it last time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what were we talking about before he disappeared on us?
Antennas. And like how if you got a really shitty antenna, you're not going to really do much.
Yeah. Most of the antennas that are included with your access points and such are rubber ducky antennas, you know, honestly, they're crap. You know,
right.
I'm not going to treasure. They are crap.
Okay. I got a question. Let's say somebody's getting a wireless network, like for their house and stuff. Like, what types of things can they do to secure their wireless network so they can't be war driven?
Umento, Hairball, you're on the main line right now, the fax line. You wanted to call in on.
Have him call the fucking voice bridge.
I don't know the number.
213.
All right.
6066. And when he gets to the recording, push #412#. #412#.
All right, so I've got 213-213-6066.
Yes.
#412#.
Right. Correct.
All right, I have him. You know, as far as home users, enable WEP. It can be a pain sometimes, but it's going to keep out, you know, your basic war driver that's going to be going by. If you're even more paranoid, or you know, if you don't want to enable WEP a really good way, if your access point offers it, this is only if it offers it, some of them don't, use MAC filtering. Get the MAC addresses off of your known clients. Add them to the access point and block everyone else.
There you go. That's actually the best way. Doesn't some routers allow MAC filtering get confused if you use the MAC address of the?
And that's the problem. If you can get the MAC address of one of the clients, you can use it. It's going to cause some problems on the network, but you're going to be able to get in.
And what about disabling the broadcast?
Yeah, disabling the broadcast is also a great way. That's the way you actually, Chaz.
I'm back.
All right,
dude,
we're talking about ways to.
Sucks.
Yeah, you blow, dude. Anyway, we're talking about ways to, for the home user and the people at home to secure. I've already touched on MAC filtering and web. Hairball just brought up disabling the broadcast. Again, excellent way to deal with war drivers. Mm-hmm. That's how we find you, because your access point broadcast, this is, access point Joe's house.
Yeah.
Offering,
Hoskins. This is Hoskins Network, and we drive by, and it says Hoskins Family on the front of, your house.
Yeah, on the front of the house. And then, never, grand, some people at home are stupid. A lot of times I'll drive by and I'll see the ESSID, which is what it broadcasts for the ID, uh-huh. as LinkSys or D-Link,
Right.
Bingo. That is what that tells me that is a default setup. That means I can do anything I want to that router.
Including, in most cases, log into the configuration menu and change the settings around.
Right, definitely. Always change the SSID to something funny or war tagging or whatever,
Oh, yeah.
That
is a huge thing. In Iowa City, a town north of me, there's war tagging going on. And that's where people drive around. They find, ones that have been obviously tagged before or are, default, and they go in and they change them. They have fun. Not really a destructive thing. It's just something kind of branched off of war driving. Basically, change your ESSID. Don't make it personal. Make it something, change it to, AP access point or, something really nondescript that won't tell us, don't put your personal information in, don't put your name in there, don't put anything like that in there. Because if somebody doesn't like you, they're driving along, oh, look, there's, John Smith. Ooh, fun. They're going to get into your network and you're screwed. Also, if you can, enable MAC filtering, disable broadcast. If you can, a lot of them don't offer it, change your channels. Don't stay on channel 6. That's a real common channel.
Right.
Most of your home user stuff is default to channel 6. I think what a real non-common channel is, like 11.
11, yeah. I typically use a channel 11, 8, 3.
8's good. 3, 2 is great. If you have the equipment that supports it, some equipment doesn't. I've actually, all my stuff here has the Japanese firmware on it, and so I've got all available
channel
channels.
Channel 14, yeah.
Yeah, and it's stuff normal people can't just touch.
Right.
Yeah,
some hardware won't even, scan that high. LinkSys, I don't think LinkSys will broadcast.
LinkSys can't broadcast, but I think it can scan. That's only if you have the correct firmware on it, though, because the firmware will tell you can't do it.
Right.
Cisco equipment, you just flash it, and it's straight up. It's all the same. All the hardware is the same. It's just for firmware. Like I said, disable your broadcast, change your SSID, web if you can. MAC filter definitely. Change your passwords. On it, don't leave it default, because default password is normally admin.
Right, admin or nothing. A lot of times there's no password at all.
Yeah, no password. Sometimes LinkSys
default
password. Yeah, well, LinkSys defaults to admin.
Right.
DCOM.
Netgear.
DCOM and Netgear is usually nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so like I said, people that go war tagging typically, know easily. They can just look at the name. You don't even have to put the name. I mean, it'll almost always tell you by the MAC address what kind of hardware it is.
Yeah, and the MAC address gives you away, because what the MAC address is there's a clearinghouse for MAC addresses, and you can search them online and et cetera.
Right.
And, the certain prefix will be, the Cisco Corporation, another prefix will be the LinkSys Corporation, another prefix will be, something else.
Yeah. Right.
Anytime
I get a chance or a friend or whatever that doesn't really know anything about wireless, I'll always clone it to something like Cisco or whatever, just for fun. Just because I know if a war driver drives by, they're going to, oh, this is Cisco, and they're going to stop and mess with it. And I just think that's funny.
Yeah. And like me, every now and then, if I want to have some fun, I'll make my access point have like a LinkSys MAC, and I'll set the ESSID to LinkSys. And just watch the fun, because people try it constantly. Or I'll change to an Orinoco. Mac, which is, you know, special, of course. No, a lot of fun's to be had. You can just sit and watch people screw with your stuff.
Yeah, myself, I actually have an Apple AirPort Extreme, and
again with your Mac gear.
Yeah, like I said, Mac gear, and it's fun. I mean, people mess with it because, you know, people just bypass. I'm like tons and tons and tons of Linksys and Netgear, you know, access points all the time. Just
yeah,
because
I mean,
they're nothing. I mean, it's so common now. It's like, you know, you don't have a phone. You know what I mean? It's so common now. It's kind of more like a cell phone. You know, everyone has cell phones. Everyone has wireless networks. You know, it's kind of more.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I guess the way to describe it is, you know, say everyone here, everyone in the world has like a, you know, an old crappy Nokia 5100 series phone.
Okay.
You come across some dude with, you know, a phone with a Palm Pilot. You're going to want to check it out. You're going to want to play with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, Cisco and Orinoco and that stuff looks like. Linksys gear, people ignore it. It's worthless anymore unless you're looking for that specific person or you need internet access.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to play with their network. It's probably boring. It's probably some, you know, 90-year-old grandma who gets on once a month to check her email. You know, or some kids, you know, that are, you know, cruising the web and there's nothing really, you know, funny ones either. You know, they're looking at Barney.
They're checking out Nickelodeon.com.
Yeah, okay. I mean, basically you come across a Cisco or an Orinoco, you know there's some serious stuff going on behind there. It's a business or, you know, it's somebody who knows what they're doing and you know, you want to have some fun. It, you know, that's all there is to it. It's fun.
Yeah. So that's the fascination with Cisco and Orinoco. Because, you know, and someone that knows a lot, that can't afford it, you know, wants to learn about it. Because, you know, it's not like you can go down to Walmart and pick up, you know, anything by Norco or Cisco. And the hardware is just really expensive, you know.
Yeah, it's prohibitively expensive. You know, most people don't have $300 to $400 to drop for an access point. You know, me, you know, I got lucky enough to have the money to drop for a couple client cards and a crappy access point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have anything real special.
Right.
You know, I'm poor. I won't, you know, fake it. I'm a poor guy, you know. But, you know, I like to have fun with, you know, the other stuff. I love to play with Cisco gear. I love to play with, you know, Orinoco gear. Orinoco gear gives me a boner. Real honestly, I get a chubby when I come across it. Just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, but, you know, I typically look out, you know, Apple, whatever like that. And an open Apple network with lots of Apple computers on it is like, you know, it's like the funnest thing because Apple has all these, you know, protocols that broadcast all kinds of, like, iTunes and their photos and everything. So it's just a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, and then there's me. I ignore Apple because I really don't know a lot about it. I never pretend to. You know, I mean, I look for businesses to play with because they're usually the funnest. There's always that chance of getting caught, which, you know, heightens the fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing with, you know, Ertl and Ethel's, you know, access point. You know, big deal. Who's going to catch you?
Right.
You know, if you're busting out and playing with, you know, Home Depot or someone else, there's that chance you're going to get caught, and that makes it that much more interesting.
Yeah, or if you write a script to DOS a bunch of school printers, you know,
yeah.
And you're set in the parking lot, and it's a little nervous. You know, you get a little nervous, but, I mean...
You start printing out, you know, anti-school propaganda from all their printers at once. You know, they tend to get a little pissed. Been there, done that. You know, again, that goes back to the days of taking two pieces of black construction paper and some scotch tape and dialing up somebody's fax.
Yeah. But as far as wireless goes right now, most people aren't going to be able to set up their own radio server. So I definitely recommend hardware that could do WPA personal and, you know, enterprise. It's what I use personally. And a lot of new hardware will actually do it. It's a lot more secure than web.
If you have the option to go 64 or 128-bit web, use 128. You're not going to notice
bigger
performance hit. And it's, real honestly, 64-bit web, you can crack in about 6 hours.
Right. Yeah. 64-bit web.
On a half. Yeah. 64-bit web. You know, if it's a busy network, you can bust a web key in 30 to 40 minutes if it's a busy network. 128-bit web, it's not really worth it. I mean, don't see any more. I pretty much avoid web networks. It's not worth my time.
Right.
You know, because I know I can find something else that isn't webbed. You know, drive 20 feet and bam, there's another access point. You know, you get probably, you know, I have no experience, I can't really speak for this, but downtown Chicago or L.A. or New York or, you know, near here about Pittsburgh, you know, you can probably drive through town and find every, you know, every business in town probably has an open access point. You know, maybe 1 in 30 have any sort of security on them. You know, a lot of people will bring these home, plug them in, figure out how to connect their client to them, and leave it at that. Yeah. They'll never log into them, ever.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, if as long as you you leave the, you know, when you wore tag, as long as you just don't set a web key, they're never going to notice that it was tagged at all because, you know,
yeah,
it's gonna, their computer's going to pop up and say, found a new wireless network on their Windows XP computer or whatever, and that's going to be the end of it. It's going to, you know, they're never going to see it again. They're never going to care. As long as it works, they're never going to check.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they can check their email, what do they care? You know, setting web keys and things like that is a good way to get busted in, on war tagging. Changing passwords is a good way to get busted, you know, because they might log in to, you know, look at something, you know, once every 2 months.
Right.
And, you know, if their password changed, they're just going to walk over and press the button and reset it.
Right.
And then you go back and re-tag it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens, yeah. It doesn't work, so they're going to call the company and they're going to say, well, reset it. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to call Best Buy. They're going to say to reset it. It's going to go back to the default, and it's going to get tagged again, you know. Until, like I said, people, you know, will eventually get smart enough to set up, you know, secure access points, or maybe they won't. Maybe what will happen is when you buy an access point, it'll say you have to read the manual, and there'll be this thing you scratch off or something, and you'll have to put that in their computer, and, you know, people will get a lot more secure. Maybe that's what will happen before people get smart enough to set their own. Maybe they'll be...
Honestly,
you know,
I doubt that. I doubt that, because there are still Windows 98 boxes and Windows 2000 boxes unpatched on live internet. You know, no firewalls, no protection. It's not going to happen. Security is never going to happen. You know, real honestly, corporate America, I mean, you can go anywhere to corporate America. A lot of corporate America, there's, you know, half-assed firewalls protecting their, you know, financial records on the internal. You know, easy to get around, you know. People just don't care about security, and they won't until something huge happens.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, as far as what I was talking about, I mean, if I, you know, ran a company that made access points, that's something I would do because, you know, rather try to, and then trying to inform everyone that's going to purchase it, I'd rather just, well, you know, here's a default, you know, you reset it, and the default is this, you know, this piece of paper or whatever. And that's, you enter this, this preset Mac or preset web key or whatever, in the client computers, and, you know, that's how you connect. You know,
yeah,
so some kind of security.
But really, then again, if you're doing something like that, you're going to lose a large market share, because a lot of people
right.
don't want to go through that. You know,
exactly.
That's going to be
that's
more,
true too.
You know, security conscious people are going to buy that, and they're going to hunt that stuff anyway, so why bother? You know, Linksys actually has a good, you know, a huge market right now. I mean, they're probably in 30% of the homes that have, you know, wireless.
Right.
You know, and I know that's bad. And they are the most exploitable. They're the most open, you know, access point out of the box. You know, they offer, you know, some of the better access points offer a half-ass, you know, security to your internal network. Whereas with, you know, Linksys and some of the lower brands, you know, ooh, look, you know, there's an open computer. It has NetBIOS open. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you get in, you view all their stuff. You know, you can grab their financial records. That's what people got to realize. I mean, you're leaving yourself open. Hairball.
Yep.
Hey, if somebody walks up to you on the street and asks you, what's your credit card number and your social security number, would you give it to them?
Probably not.
No. And nobody would, because nobody's that dumb. And, but people store this stuff on their computers. You know, constantly, you know, social security numbers, personal financial information, credit card numbers, passwords, you know, stuff that you would not want to get out to the public, they leave this wide open.
Oops. Kind of makes you not feel guilty for when they get hacked, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
And people that people that actually take advantage of this, they don't feel bad because why should you?
Yeah, I mean, real honestly, you know, people are being stupid. I mean, if I go and I own someone's network, you know, big deal, fun for me, screw you. You know, I don't care because you're dumb enough to leave it wide open. What do I care? You know, if you have WEP and I have to go and crack your WEP, then I feel a little bad. You know, if I have to, like, bust through some sort of authentication, yeah, I'm going to feel a little guilty if I screw stuff up because you actually know half-assed what you're doing. You know, but if you're totally open, hey, fair gain. You know, stand back and watch the master. And yes, I do have a big head. But, I mean, it's astounding what people do these days.
I read somewhere that some of the electronic voting machines actually use wireless.
Yeah, for a while they were. I don't think that they are anymore.
Yes,
yeah,
they tell you.
I haven't seen it. I guess when the elections come around, I'll be checking them out. Cruising around with my my kismet. You know, I'll go vote and I'll go sit outside the voting place. You know, I don't know if I'll try to influence the polls to try and get Bush out of office. Most likely, if I can. but you know, that's what propaganda is all about.
Right.
And
which I'm sure probably all of us want Bush out of office, but we shouldn't have
We shouldn't screw with the government. Granted, the government is corrupt, but still, you know, let the people make their choice. I mean, if the majority of people think Bush is doing a good job, well, he may be for some people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Personally, he's fucking me in the ass with a rusty lead pipe. You know, I'm lower class. You know, I won't deny it. I'm not, you know, middle, upper middle where I'm going to get some tax breaks. I'm like the shit poor class. It'd be something to play with, you know, but definitely, you know, I wouldn't want to try to, you know, screw with it because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, earn me some time and, you know, the federal pound me in the ass prison with, you know, my cellmate Bubba, who tells me every night, boy, you sure drew out a pretty mouth. You know, I really don't want that. You know, I prize my anal virginity.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to lose it over something stupid. You know, and on that note, I think we're done with my anal virginity.
Okay. Well, also, what I wanted to say is, as far as now with the wireless stuff, it's only going to get more amazing because, just recently, a company I know, I won't mention any names. It's called the
Apple.
Airport Express. I don't know who it's made by.
Again, this is Chad plugging Apple.
No. But, you know, see, the thing is, I would plug whoever else that made it, but there's nothing else quite like it. What it does, actually, you can plug it into a wired network, and really all you do is plug it into the wall. It's like a power brick. You plug it into the wall. You plug in the Ethernet. And I've been waiting for something like this to come out to exploit a few wired networks. That I've wanted to get access to that I couldn't easily plug in a laptop and just, you know, play around with it. But I can easily plug this new item in, the Airport Express, and go outside, you know, go wherever and just chill and you know, mess around with the internal network wirelessly. I spoke to Hairball about, I believe, and he said, well, you could do that with anything, but you'd really have to see it to understand. And you'd really have to see most wireless, you know, access points and see this one.
I've actually seen it, and you know, in comparison, this guy looks like you know, the power converter for your
right.
printer almost. Whereas you know, your standard you know, wireless access point, you know, if you have a DSL modem or a cable modem
mm-hmm.
or a router, they look like that. They're big and obtrusive, and you're going to notice them. You're not going to notice some little guy plugged into the wall. I mean, ooh,
right.
wow, look, you know, wonder what that's for. Oh well.
Exactly, and like I said, and I, you know, I've really been waiting for something like this to come out, and before it did, I was thinking about, you know, maybe trying to make something like this, but you know, it just Apple did it for me again, so I can't wait. It's going to be shipping. Actually, it just started shipping yesterday. Actually, now that I think about it, but definitely, like I said, it's real cheap.
Price range on it?
It's actually $129.99. And I'm like I said, it does more things than just wireless. It does wireless printing, and it does an extreme iTunes, which
all
you
right.
know.
So with wireless printing, you're talking where you're plugging a printer into it with USB or
right. You can plug a USB actually, what it'll do is it'll bridge a wireless network. I mean, it'll bridge a wired network to wireless. It'll actually, if you already have a wireless network, it can actually do WPA over it, or it can actually use the wireless network as its network and then rebroadcast. So it can actually extend your wireless network. You could plug in a USB printer, and it can print through it through any Macintosh. There's supposed to be something in the new Windows that's going to kind of work with it, but I don't really, like I said,
yeah,
I
we'll
really
see where that goes.
But also what it does, with Windows right now, it actually uses, I don't know if you any of you guys are iTunes users, but what you can do is you can actually, on iTunes, you plug it in, and iTunes will automatically detect it through your network, and with Windows, you know, or Mac, whatever, and it'll say whatever the access point's name is, like living room access point or whatever. And then what you can do is you can actually play your music through it. You can plug, there's a audio jack to it. You plug in your stereo and you can listen to your music through your stereo through the access point.
All right. So basically you're saying, well, basically $120.
Right.
You know, and to buy a shit, you know, a piece of crap that's going to have no security on it, you're looking at, you know, 50, 60. So, you know,
right.
Double your money and get a secure one. You know, I'm not into plugging Apple here, but, you know, this sounds like a good deal.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's
security. I mean, is it secure out of the box, or is it open and exploitable out of the box?
As far as exploitable out of the box, Apple. Here's the thing: a typical user like you, if you've seen an Apple Airport, and it was had no web key, there's no way you could actually log into it without a Mac, or unless you had a version of. Unless you had the admin utility, you know, just on your Windows computer, because it actually uses a tool or it's actually an application built into any version of Mac OS, and it's called, like I said, it's called Apple Airport Admin. And without this application, you can't do anything to the access point. You can't do anything at all. So
basically, you're doing away with
web-based right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Stuff.
All right. So, like I said, without the application, so that makes it, like I said, that makes it a lot less vulnerable. Lot less vulnerable. But yeah, I mean, every access point you're going to buy, you know, there's going to be no web key. It's going to be, broadcasting by default.
Yeah, pretty much insecure out of the box. But
right,
you know, and so ends our plug this section of the Hacksaw Radio Show, where Chaz tries to plug his love of Apple products. I'm sure we'll come back to it. Anybody have any more ideas on questions for wireless or?
I don't know. I think it was all.
As far as wireless. No.
I do believe Hairball fell asleep on us.
Yes, probably. Well, see, I know we mentioned war driving some. We didn't really go into it.
Right.
Basically, war driving, you grab a laptop and a wireless client card, PC, MCI, whatever your thing takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be mini PCI. It doesn't matter.
PDA.
Yeah, who knows? USB adapters, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Some sort of client adapter. Plug into your laptop, get an application. I plug Kismet for the Linux platform and FreeBSD platform because it owns it. It's better than anything else out there.
Yeah, and like I said, KissMac, which is the same application just ported for the Mac.
Yeah, the Mac, and they are working on a port for it to Windows because NetStumbler is kind of crap.
Yeah.
And as soon as they port it to Windows, it'll just be an all around gem. I mean, if you're on Windows, NetStumbler is sadly still the best, unless you want to run like Cywin and bust out Kismet, but that's a real pain to get it working. So NetStumbler on Windows, but basically you drive around and look for access points. If you have a crappy car with an internal antenna, you're kind of limited on range. Again, I'm going to plug my Cisco stuff. I suggest LMC 350. It does have the LMC and the PMC, two different versions.
Right. Yeah,
for the car.
Go ahead. I'll let you
play. The PMC has an antenna built into it. You can't remove it. You have to drill it and play with it to get an external antenna. The LMC has two MC connectors on it. where you can plug two antennas into it, and there is no internal antenna, so you have to have an antenna for this. They have clip-on antennas that will clip onto the card and do it, like a turn into basically a PMC. But I suggest, you know, if you're going to shell out the cash for a Cisco, you know, 350 card, you know, spend another $20. Get a decent, you know, personally, I bought mine on eBay. I spent, I think, $15. It's a 5.5 dBi gain. Magnetized base. So I can, you know, reach out the window of my car, slap it on the roof, and drive around. It looks like a cell phone antenna. Everyone ignores it. Mm-hmm. It has, like, a 10-foot cord on it, so I don't really bind up in the car. You know, sit on the passenger seat and just cruise. You know, and you just drive around, and it's amazing. I have sound hooked up because I don't want to take my eyes off the road and watch it constantly, so I can just listen for interesting packets, which are weak packets or Cisco packets, makes one sound, and then a new wireless network makes another sound. Intrusion reports, which is for more monitoring your home network, makes a different sound. I turn that off. But you can drive around, and it's just amazing. It just goes nuts. Okay. It was a constant sound.
Tell me one thing. I've never ran Kismet on Windows because I've really never messed around with wireless and Windows. Because I mean, I've tried before. It's just I've had lots of problems with.
Right.
I've
never run it on Windows either. So.
So tell me this. Is the same stuff there? The same support for GPS and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's something that I haven't really got into because I don't have a GPS receiver.
Okay.
With Linux, what you can do is you can plug a receiver for GPS into your serial port or USB or whatever you can, mm-hmm. and it'll go right into Kismet, and it'll give you GPS coordinates of where you started to receive it, where you stopped to receive it. You can build maps.
Yeah.
You can build.
Not only that, it'll tell you how far you are away from the access point.
Yeah, well,
right, exactly.
Not really.
Well,
you can kind of triangulate where it is.
It kind of puts a little dot there, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll figure out where it's at. But then I'm sure some people, if you've been to wireless at all, you've stumbled across the sites of where they have maps of you know, cities mm-hmm. with dots. That's not somebody, you know, looking, you know, figuring out where they are and putting a dot there. That's a guy with some sort of GPS receiver.
Yeah, Bluetooth GPS. Yeah.
Or something, you know. You know, personally, I've been looking real seriously at GPS. There are a couple out there. There are some compact flash ones that I could put for Windows, but I don't know if I can support them in Linux. A good serial-based is you're guaranteed for it to work. You know, serial-based GPS, you know, plugged into this, and you're going to have not only the data from, you know, the ESS ID, all the client cards you see on there, you're going to have where you start to see it, where you stop to see it, you know, signals at different coordinates, so it can figure out where it's at. Then you can turn around and plug it into a map and build a map. I haven't built maps because I don't have a GPS, but from what I've seen from other maps is it uses an online map server where it downloads, like, street maps. And then you can figure out what buildings these are in.
Right.
Without having to do the grunt work. Like me, I have my mag mount, and then I have, I'm sure you've all seen the Pringles can design.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Pringles can receiver or antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
It's crap. The dynamics of it are crap. It's a horrible antenna. Personally, I'm going to plug the big Bush's baked bean cans. The size of them are perfect. If you contact me, I'll give you all the measurements of where to drill, where to put your connectors. From what I figure, I have a 12 dBi gain directional antenna. I spent, I think, $1.03 for the can of baked beans, which I ate and farted forever. It's a big can. And then I spent $4 on the N-style connector, and then the rest of it is just, you know, a length of copper. I'm sure you have, you know, if you're into any sort of electronics, you're going to have copper, you know, solid copper wire laying around. You know, like I think I used 12-gauge copper wire, just, you know, solid copper wire for the driven element. That's all you got to do. Takes about 20 minutes to build it. Not counting the eating time and cleaning the can, that's something else. But, you know, basic tools you got to have, you need a drill, and a screwdriver, and you're in business. And who quit?
Don't know. Wasn't me.
Other Chaz. Chaz?
Chaz.
Chaz.
Well, that's four or five today.
Yeah.
That's like five. Didn't count his first drop.
Right.
Okay, so officially, we cannot allow anyone who does not have a copper line to participate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, it's kind of annoying, but, you know, and you know, again, back to the antennas, you can buy a really nice directional wire mesh antenna.
Right.
You're looking at 24 dBi gain, which dBi, I'm not sure what it stands for. I'm sure I can figure it out. I know it. I used to know it.
All right.
Jazz?
Dude, what the fuck's going on, man?
Quit dropping,
My bad.
What happened? No, what happened?
Yeah.
I hit the button. Yeah, I hit end for a while.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, what I was saying is, you know, the bushes can't, it's great. You know, it'll cost you a grand total about $10 and 20 minutes of your time. You know, it's a good way to get a directional antenna if you, you know, can't afford the cash. What I'm going to recommend if you're really getting into this, I've actually got one. It's a directional wire mesh antenna. It's a big guy. It's hard to hide. So if you're in an area where you think you might get nailed, don't use it. It's about 2 foot in diameter. Big wire mesh deal. You know, people are going to look at you when you're using it. But it's 24 dBi gain. And again, dBi, I don't know what it means. I'm sure Chaz might.
dBi. You know what? No, I do know.
I got to guess. Decibel increase. That's probably totally wrong. Okay, I'm an idiot.
I'll find it out.
Yeah, I don't know. What else was talking about?
I've got it. dBi is abbreviation in the expression of antenna gain. The number of decibels of gain in antenna reference to 0 dB gain of free space isotropic radar, which basically what that means is how many decibels of signal you're gaining over nothing, pretty much.
Yeah, well, nothing is what you want. I'm talking about loss.
Yeah, you're talking about something else. dBi, the higher the dBi, the better. 5.5 dBi, that's respectful for an omnidirectional, which is a non-directional. It's receiving and broadcasting in all directions. A good directional, anywhere between, you know, 15, you know, on up. I have a 24 dBi gain wire mesh directional. I've seen plans where you can turn a Primestar dish into like a 50 dBi gain, which, you know, you start breaking 50 dBi and you're putting out more than 200 to 300 milliwatts, you're looking at killing small animals. You know, you're going to cook them, you know, straight up, especially with the 2.4 gigahertz range. That's what your microwave is. A microwave is a 2.4 gigahertz appliance. That's why you get an interference on your Wi-Fi or your 2.4 gigahertz digital phone around your microwave. It's the same area. You know, and I paid, I don't know, $50-$60 for it. It's worth it. You know, I'm not going to, you know, go into the whole merit of it. It's 50% outside someplace and getting a great reception on it. But, you know, a nice 5.5 dBi gain, mag mount or non, you know, it is a good place to start for, you know, war driving. Mag mount is a definite plus, so you can clip it on top of your car. Because your car, you know, if you've done anything with radio, you know, you put some sort of receiver inside a big metal box, you're going to kill your reception. Put it outside the box, you're going to improve your reception. So get it outside your car if you can. If you have to, you know, get an antenna with a long cord, just dangle it out your window if you have to.
Oh, yeah, man.
It works. You know, and that's like the ghetto way to do it. That's the way Hairball would do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my first experience with war driving was a taxi cab in Chicago. You just dangled out the window. If I'm a taxi rag, I have 300 points, man. That's insane. And this was many, many years ago. This was like a good 4 years ago.
Yeah, and there you go. I mean, this stuff's huge. You know, and it's amazing the stupidity that people, you know, display with their wireless. Because you wouldn't, you know, hopefully you wouldn't leave your wired network this open. You know, some people do, I realize this, but, you know, the people that are going to halfway secure their wired networks are going to leave their wireless 100% open. You know, they're going to run sort of NAT device on their wired. They're not going to run it on their wireless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And, you know, it just interferes with me. My parents, you know, I'm going to use my parents as an example here. I know it's bad. I set them up with a rather decent router, a Cisco 2506? I think so. I set it up at their house because they've got computers in like every room because they've got kids there still. It's a big mess. Anyway, I set up with that. Hopefully, get some security from the outside world. My mom goes over to Walmart because she gets a new laptop, buys a crappy Linksys wireless access point, plugs it in, compromises security of the entire network. You know, and you know, my mom works from home. My mom works for a major insurance company. Not naming names here. But it's pretty big, and she has a lot of work from home, and she has all of her stuff on her laptop. And, you know, she's leaving the stuff wide open, and you know, I'm sure this stuff could come back and bite her in the ass. I've gone out there, I've put a web key on it, I've done, you know, MAC encryption on it a couple times. She keeps resetting it. I'm just going to let her, you know, do what happens, because, you know, people want to violate security. They want to, you know, people try and help, you know, I try to help other people out with their security. They want to violate it, you know, I'll set them up a couple times. They want to do it, you know, screw them. It's up to them.
And what the really fucked up part is, though, is whenever you tell someone, you know, hey, anybody who has a wireless access card can use their internet, they're like, no, they can't, like, no way. And I'm like, well, how do you think your computer uses it? And then once you ask them that, they're like, oh.
It's the first time
they ever thought about that before.
Yeah, and you know, really what's going to happen is it's going to take, you know, these people that are running open wireless networks, it's going to take their personal data being stolen and used against them for this to sink in. And it's going to be a one-by-one process, you know. One person in town isn't going to get, you know, screwed, and everybody else is going to realize, oh, they have to secure their stuff. No, it's going to be every person in town. And, you know, that's what pisses me off about security today. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, granted, it makes it great for people like me.
The thing is about you know, the security and wireless stuff like that, it's, yeah, you think, okay, you know, a lot of people think, yeah, that's cool, you know, cool for me because, I like war driving. I like finding all this data. But what's not cool is when, you know, the government and, you know, someone, maybe a company, you know, like this insurance, you know, maybe his mom, you know, is your insurance broker or whatever, you know, and she's using wireless. And then why is it on you? But it's not. I mean, so like I said, it affects everyone. That's the problem with this.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, again, you know, say, how to describe this really well. Say you went to the doctor, right? The doctor runs an open wireless network. You knew this. You didn't care, you know, because you'd used it while sitting on the waiting room. You get an STD test done. It comes back positive. Some little jackass drives by, grabs all the data, and then posts it all over the internet. Suddenly everyone knows you've got herpes, crabs, scabies, and gonorrhea. You know, what's that do to you? You know, you got to bring it home. You got to realize that, you know, while you may not have an open wireless network, you may not care, you may be a war driver, you know, everyone else does. I mean, you go to Walmart, you know, you make a purchase with your credit card. I mean, you can't tell me they don't store that shit on file.
Now, yeah. I mean, I think it's quite possible to maybe even profit from wireless networks. Because, first of all, war driving is not illegal, especially the initial run, because all you're doing is passively receiving a signal.
Right.
You receive the broadcast, and you say, you know, Walmart has an access point open, or Bill's Pharmacy, or Bob's Soda Shop, or John's Diner, whatever that happens to be. You, as an independent security consultant, can then write them a letter saying, you know, I was doing a security out of my network and, you know, passively, not interfering, just listening for broadcast beacons, and we found this. And this is why this is bad. We can come fix this for a small nominal fee, and you could probably make some money that way.
Yeah, that's really
useful. I mean, you know what, in theory, that's great, and, you know, people have tried that. It's just, for some reason, it's just really not working out. Maybe it's just people don't want to, you know, people don't want to be approached like that, like, hey, your network's insecure, do something about it now, or, you know, I don't know, it's just, there should be, you know, a huge, you know, profit from that where people are just stupid if someone, you know, just someone wants to drive around and, you know, get information about, oh, this is your access point and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's, the quote-unquote, white hat way to do it. If you want to be black hat about it, sniff some of their personal data, blackmail them with it.
Right. Yeah, that's the only way you're really going to
black hat. Yeah,
because, doing the white hat about it, people are going to, they're probably going to think, they're probably going to call the cops or, just who knows what they can, do. So if you're trying to make money off of it, don't try the white hat way because it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, I mean, say you have wireless at your home, your next-door neighbor has wireless, you're sniffing the packets, you're watching his AIM sessions. You find he's talking to his 14-year-old girlfriend, he's 26, she's pregnant. Right there. I mean,
That's how you're gonna make money.
They don't want out. They don't want to get out, but they're letting it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sickening. I know I'm going on a security rampage here, but the lack of security in today's world just frightens the hell out of me. I mean, I hate to think, what data of mine is flying around. I mean, credit card numbers, personal information, bank records, I mentioned the bank with the open access point, medical records. There's a lot of stuff I prefer not to be known public knowledge.
Yeah.
It frightens the hell out of me. I'm starting to sound like, security evangelist here, but that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, some serious effort on the part of everyone to
hopefully,
not
I mean, if anyone listens to this and, doesn't already have a secure access point, they'll definitely look into it. See, another thing, a problem with setting up a web key with Windows, which I found is, it's not easy. It's not like you can just put in a word and it encrypts it for you and that's your password. It's not that easy with the older Linksys of stuff, and only until recently they made it where you can actually it'll actually
dot or whatever.
Right. Only recently. So I mean, and seriously, some of the cheaper stuff that, people are cheap, people buy cheap stuff, a lot of the cheaper stuff still doesn't,
It's still expecting the alphanumeric version.
Right, exactly.
7B3.
Yeah, and who the hell knows that? I mean, so it doesn't get done. I mean, and, I can vouch for that, too. I mean, when I was first getting into wireless and stuff like that, I messed around with some of the cheaper hardware, and I was like, well, how the hell am I supposed to, you have to actually go on the, go on the internet, make up a password, a 16-character password, and then, have it, change into alphanumeric or whatever, and then use that. And normal people don't know how to do that.
Yeah, and a side note, if you think you're going to be slick and smart and go enter all zeros for a web key, doesn't work. All zeros is all web key. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've actually seen people say, routers, they've entered all zeros. Oh, I'm slick. I'm just getting 0000000. Yeah, you know what? That's the same thing as nothing. I've seen that. I think they're slick as hell. It's not a web key. It's nothing. It's the same as an open network. I mean, it may tell you it's web. It's not.
Yeah. That's funny too.
I have seen shit like that. I have seen it where they've gone through and they've typed out Linksys router for the web key. Doesn't work. Half the alphanumeric.
Yeah, it just sits in there and then, and nothing happens because...
If you have a crappy router, there are certain values that it will accept and it won't. If you have any questions, just Google. Go to Google. I'm going to plug Google. Yes, go to Google. And, say if you have a Linksys, type Linksys Web Key How To or FAQ. Frequently asked questions. It'll bring up web pages. I mean, I just did it right now. I'm looking at like 30 web pages. You'll click on one now. Look, a step-by-step of how to do it. It's, third from the top, Linksys Web Key How To. Third from the top, it's great. Check this stuff out.
Everyone needs to have a web key.
Web key, Mac encryption.
It's great, the truth is, once everyone's using a web key, it's just there's just going to be greater and easier tools to crack web keys. But just a reality.
Once people are security conscious, they're using WebKey, it's going to progress naturally. You're going to start seeing a lot more Mac filtering, then they're going to come out with something better. You know, it's the whole, you know, one step ahead game. You know, the cracker and the hackers is usually one step ahead of the vendors and the security consultants and the security people. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, people who are actually out there, you know, trying new stuff. The script kiddies, I've seen script kiddies still trying to use, like, Teardrop and Coke and, you know, those exploits against, you know, new computers to try and drop them.
Yeah.
You know, I crack up on that. Like, you know, we run HBX. I see people trying to run, you know, I'm sure you've all seen the Pepsi exploit and the Coke and the Boink. I've seen them compile it and run it. It's hilarious. I laugh.
All right, well, I think maybe we should move into some of the newer wireless technologies and stuff like that. That's all right.
All right. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
All right, well, what I don't know. I think I told Hairball, maybe I think I talked about you with the Nexus about WiMAX.
Yeah, I think I've seen that, and I won't be shy. I'm not really following the new Wi-Fi stuff real closely, so...
Okay, well,
don't worry about it.
I'll go into the you know, what I think is going to come out before WiMAX, which is, you know, 802.11, what is it, 802.11n. Yeah, 802.11n, which is, it's just finally going to be, you know, gigahertz, you know, wireless.
That'll be sweet.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. 802.11b is 11 tops.
Right.
A is 22,
yeah. And G is 54.
Yeah. And, I mean, still, we're talking about slow networks. I mean, your wired networks, unless you're running a really shitty hub or whatever, you're running 100 megabit. And then, you know, with this, you know, Wi-Fi stuff, you know, 11, 22, or 54, you know, at most, you're getting about half what you can over wired. And if we move into, you know, the N stuff, which I have checked out, it looks kind of cool. It's going to be, what's projected release date on that? Like next year, middle?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and plug someone. It's projected that that Apple ships wireless in a lot of the notebooks first. It's projected that they'll ship it in their G5 PowerBooks, 802.11n technology.
Yeah, and you know, here's one thing I will plug. Apple was the first to offer integrated Wi-Fi in their notebooks. Granted, it is a pain in the ass to change any of it. The antenna runs behind the screen, so you got to tear the whole damn thing apart. And that's surgery to tear apart an Apple notebook if you've ever done that. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of beer. Speaking of beer, I'm going to take this opportunity to plug Old English 40s. I have one in my hand now. Yeah, so we got to plug the beer, you know, go off on that route. We are talking about Wi-Fi, you know, shouts to the broken.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
All right, so anyways, 802.11n is going to be great because, you know, no one really, I really don't know anyone that, I mean, actually I know one person, but, you know, it's like hard to say you know someone with a gigabit Ethernet, you know, a network because...
I mean,
most computers don't have gigabit Ethernet.
I'm probably the only one here who actually has gigabit Ethernet capabilities. I don't use it because I can't afford a gigabit switch and everything else. But I have it on board on my new computer.
That's cool.
It's still expensive.
Right. You know. Yeah. A lot of hardware, PC hardware, doesn't have gigabit Ethernet unless you're in like a professional design studio and you're using, you know, PowerMax and, you know, 15 to 17-inch PowerBooks, you're not going to have a gigabit Ethernet because, you know, only recently, which Nexus I'm sure can vouch, that, you know, PCs actually started using gigabit Ethernet in their notebooks.
Actually, I haven't really seen the notebooks with me. I don't really get into notebooks very often.
Okay.
The first gigabit cards that shipped, I believe, were actually shipped by 3Com, the 3Com industrial side
of
it.
Right. Well, I'm talking about
3Com
in a notebook.
Or the PC. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about just gigabit. Oh,
okay.
Shipped by 3Com, and they shipped late 2001, I believe. It was around before that. I mean, it was, you know, moderate testing, really. But they ship massively late 2001. It's kind of commonplace in business. Home users, really no use for it yet. I mean, you got to realize your fastest internet connection at home, you know, I have a cable connection, and I'm 10 down, 5 up. That's probably the best connection people have ever heard about. And, you know, a 10 base T network would suit me fine for that. You know, except for 100 base T, that's internal only. You're not really doing a lot, unless you're moving a lot of files. Gigabit, if you're not really into a lot of high, you know, bandwidth applications, like with video processing, et cetera, no real use for it for the home user yet. Industrial and business settings, maybe. A lot of industrial, or a lot, the insurance company my mom still works for uses Token Ring. I kid you not, thousands of computers in, I believe, 16 offices across the country all run Token Ring. I shit you not. You know, and this has to have the IT guys pulling their hair out. But anyway, 802.11n. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is going to support, I think I read it somewhere, I could be mistaken, but 256 bit web keys, is that correct?
Right. Yeah, I mean, and which is possible, you know, which is possible now, which is no improvement over, you know, what we have now. Most 802.11g can support, 256.
Yeah, but you have to patch it, whereas N is going to be standard with, I think, commercial upgrades to 512.
Right.
Which still is going to be crackable, but it's going to take longer.
Right, and like I said, you know, eventually it's just going to be so high.
Yeah, you're going to start busting out, you know, 1,042-bit web keys. You know, basically you're going to have your own private key, you know, eventually, hopefully. You know, I'd like to see it where, you know, everyone has a smart card, where they use a smart card to access the computer. That holds the information to access the Internet, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to happen. It'd be nice.
Right.
Anyway, I think we've talked about N. You know, if you're curious about N, search 802.11n on Google, and you'll hit some stuff on it. I mean, I'm not going to try and, you know, I'm sure Jasmine wouldn't do, you know, busted the whole white paper on it.
Right.
You know, we can spend a whole show on 802.11n.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and move on to WiMAX and probably cut it to an end because we've been conferenceable.
We've been ranting on forever.
802.11. Oh, not 802. Okay. Well, WiMAX actually is going to be. I don't know if you know if anyone's looked into these internet high speed internet solutions or whatever services. You know. And as far as right now, you can get, you know, dedicated, you know, high-speed internet, but it's real expensive. Not only do they make you purchase the hardware, they make you, you know, pay like $100 a month for like, you know, a crappy connection, you know, maybe like 512 up and down or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're wanting to bust it like a T1, you're looking at, you know, $400 to $500 a month, easy.
Right.
Along with the cost of your local loop, which is going to gouge you for 70 or 80 a month, and your hardware costs.
Right, exactly. And the problem with that is, the wireless is, we're still limited to like 802.11a, or 802.11b, 802.11, you know, G technology, where, you know, they have a grid antenna for, you know, a 24, you know, around like a 24 dBi antenna that'll broadcast, 15 miles maybe, you know, on some Cisco stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, 15 miles if you're lucky, the signal point here is going to be shit. But,
yeah.
You get a signal out there, it's going to be slow as hell. I mean, you'd be better off to bust out your, you know, 9600 baud modem at those ranges.
Yeah, well, see, you know, that's a problem with the wireless companies now. When WiMAX comes out, actually, what it's going to be is it's going to basically replace the systems where you don't have to have, a Cisco bridge, right? A Cisco bridge with a grid antenna or whatever at your house. You know, it's going to be kind of if you guys are familiar with the technology what the hell is the company, where they use cowl lamps and stuff like that?
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
What was
vaguely
it called?
Rings a bell.
It's basically, you're going to have like it's something, it's not, like I said, it's going to be something kind of like the technology where, which was working great, and I don't know why they stopped it. Basically, you have a regular cable modem, and you have a cow lamp, you know, on top of your facility or whatever, and it hits a central point, and it broadcasts for, you know, 25 miles or so in a radius, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of the technology. Sprint used it for a while for their wireless internet connections called,
you're not talking about the, like, Wi-Fi on the phones, right, where you can cruise around and you get, like, 50...
No, I'm not talking about the phones. I'm talking about, it's a dedicated service or whatever, but,
I've seen it. I don't know what it's called.
It was using Texas for a while, and I forget the name of it, but, you know, it really worked pretty well, and it was pretty cheap. Unfortunately, they just kind of, you know, scrapped it. People stopped using it. I don't know why. It seemed like it was working great. I really don't know what happened to that. But
it was, again, it was probably something new that people really didn't know a lot about, and so you didn't get, you know, a lot of the homies. It was probably, you know, a very select group that really knew
about
it.
Right, it was all businesses. Yeah, it was all business that used it.
And that's the thing. I mean, granted, you can get all the businesses in town to use something. But, I mean, you know, a town the size of mine, sure, there's going to be 100 businesses. But if you're trying to sell an internet service, you know, 100 customers isn't going to do it. You're going to need to sell to more. You know,
yeah.
Sell to, a third of a town, maybe, or a quarter, or, you know, an eighth. You know, and then you're in business. You know, if you only sell to a couple people, you know, even an R&D project isn't going to pan out because you're not going to see any real interest or need in it.
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, basically, I'll go back into WiMAX, but basically what WiMAX is, it's going to be a wireless rollout where, you know, one access point can broadcast, you know, 25 miles, and these access points are going to be, like, dirt cheap, you know, in comparison to what it was costing, you know, people. And also, it's not going to be, you know, very expensive for the clients that you just put in your house, and you don't need a big antenna, because I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. On this front, there's a town in California where I know they have, like, 20 access points all through town where only one of them has a dedicated connection where they all kind of bounce back to. Are we talking about the same thing here where all the access points talk to each other and just bounce back to a central or something else?
Well, like I said, the thing is why it's going to be so awesome because right now, you know, you only have so many solutions, really. You can go with cable, you know, if you're lucky, DSL,
dial-up,
you know, that's basically satellite, you know. You don't have a lot of options, okay, with WiMAX, because it's going to be so easy to deploy WiMAX, you know, a WiMAX rollout. I can have an ISP, you can have an ISP, Tom, Dick, and Harry can have an ISP, so the prices are going to be dirt cheap. You know, because it's going to be real competitive. It's going to be like, you know, car insurance or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be really cheap where, well, why are you going to pick this one when this one's cheaper unless this one gives you more or whatever, you know? So that's really what it's going to be.
All right. So basically what you're saying here is it's going to help drive the cost of bandwidth down.
Right, exactly.
Bandwidth amounts are going to go up. You know, you might still pay $40 a month, but you might get, you know, like me, I'm busting out a 10 down, 5 up.
You're going to get something crazy, you know what I mean?
I'm paying out the ass, and then, you know, I might be able to get the same thing for $40 or $30, you know, which would be really nice.
Yeah, well, probably, I don't know about the connections like that. I mean, they'll definitely be possible, but what I'm probably going to say is, like, you could probably get, like, one meg up and one meg down for, like, $20 a month, which almost anywhere you go is, like, would be, you know, insanely cheap because you really can't get those kind of speeds, like, you know what I mean? For, you know, almost anywhere for that much. I mean, some places, yeah, you know, they give you, like, an insane amount like you have. You say you pay $40 for that?
No, I pay out the ass for that.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I mean, you'll be able to get, you know what I'm saying? You'll be able to get, you know, really fast connections for really cheap. And that's just not the way it is now. But like I said, there's going to be so many competitors, that's the reason it's going to be like that. But it's not like the ISPs aren't going to be making money because they're going to have a shitload of clients.
Well,
but another thing about WiMAX is, though, it's going to be, yeah, kind of like you're saying. I mean, they're just going to be everywhere where you can just, you know, you can go to your friend's house or whatever that lives 3 miles, you know, down from you and use your laptop on your account. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is really nice because that way, you know, you're not, you know, worried about, you know, what's this guy's connection? Am I going to get in trouble for using it, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, use your own, you know, cruise around.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I definitely recommend you guys check out the WiMAX technology. If you just Google WiMAX, Intel has a whole site dedicated to informing people about it and, you know, how it's going to – it's going to be like the next, you know, what is it, revolution. It's going to be – it's going to change a lot of things, really it is. And, and like I said, why I think it's going to be so great is because, you know, all these people that are nobodies can just start up ISPs and, you know, compete with everyone else, and Internet costs is really going to come down.
Yeah, that'd be nice because then you don't have to pay. You know, because right now, I mean, say if you get, you know, DSL, 256 down, 128 up, you're probably looking at, you know, $30-$40 a month. You know, cable internet, which, you know, cable does have some faster speeds. Like, I know there's a package around here for, I think, 3 megs down, 256K up,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to pay $40-$50 a month for that. Now, the problem with cable is it is shared bandwidth. So, you know, if you and your friend down the road are both downloading at high speed, you're both going to notice a big hit in it. You know, and you know, cable is nice, but it's expensive. But if we can drive the price of bandwidth down, we can be, you know, Sweden. You know, Sweden,
right.
They're running 10 megabit connections, and they're paying the equivalent of about 20 U.S. a month for it.
Right. Well, see, the thing with WiMAX is, it's, you know, even people that want to stick with cable, you know, their rights are even going to, you know, be drove down because they're going to have to compete with these other companies. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And like I said, so Internet, so Internet itself, you know, it's just going to become cheap. And like I said, you know, it's going to be great for everyone, you know, except for those people that are, they're in the Internet, you know, business right now and making, you know, tons and tons of money, you know, off, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, because,
bullshit,
you,
but.
You know, they're just gouging people. You know,
yeah.
And I'd like to bring up, you know, my platform for running as, you know, presidential elections, you know, later on, you know, maybe next election. I'm going to run independent party. I'm going to promise, I won't say I'm going to be able to do it, but I'm going to promise a 10 megabit connection at every home.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that might just get me in office. You never know. A constitutional amendment, you know, do away with the age requirements, et cetera, get me in office and be like, yeah, screw you. But, no, I mean, it's, you know, Internet costs are ungodly high. I mean, if you think about it, you can buy a T1 for $400 a month, which is, what, 1.4, something like that, up and down.
1.5, I think.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah, it's like 149 something. I'll find out real quick. Hang on. I have it on my computer here. One second. Accessing the file. I got to find it.
It's what is it, 32, 56K lines?
A T1 is 1.544. Yeah, a T1 is 1.544 megabits per second. You know, and I've seen, you know, I worked for an ISP in my hometown, and they had 3 T1s coming in, and they sold dial-up accounts, all right?
Mm-hmm.
$25 a month. They had literally thousands of customers on
yeah.
these, and you know, they were raking it in. It was ungodly amount. I made $23 an hour to sit there and take people's money at the front desk.
Yeah,
you know they're making ungodly amounts.
Oh yeah, definitely.
If you can drive these costs down to, you know, what it costs to actually get this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what is that sound?
I'm not sure.
Hairball.
That's what it is. Hairball.
That's hairball snoring.
Let's drop him.
Can't drop him. Anyway, we'll have to give him crap about this. You know, first you disappear, and then disappear again and again and again. Then there's the stuff on the earlier try of the show we won't mention. Had trouble getting Avid in here, and then Hairball falls asleep. This is always doomed from the beginning. I think we talked in the sleep.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't do the same with our listeners. You know, if you're still listening and you take what we say about, security seriously, I don't think... Hey, Johnny, do we have any forum availability with Hacks or Radio, or are we just kind of leeching off of HPX shelves? Johnny.
Huh.
Jesus, Avid. Great. We're the only people left.
All
right. Let's see if I can.
You want to close the show, or?
Well, Johnny normally does it close. That's the problem. Oh God. And Evan's recording, so. All right, I guess we will close on that note. I don't know what else they have. I mean, if we can't get in, I mean, Johnny, Avid, Hairball, any of you guys, wake up. I mean, I realize it's 5 a.m. on the East Coast. It's 4 here. I have to be at work in like 7 hours, and I'm still up. All right, anyway, that makes the show like over an hour long, which I think is good.
Yeah, so they can cut some stuff out, whatever.
Yeah, they'll have to cut out, like, the hours of sleeping they're going to encounter.
No.
But, I guess for everyone here at Hacks or Radio, we had, me and Chaz on today. Chaz?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about Wi-Fi and security for hours, mentioned the Hope hack and everything. For everyone here at Hacks or Radio, your core guys, Avid, Hairball, and Johnny, and then the two guests that are the only ones still awake, I'd like to add, me and Chaz, Nexus and Chaz, we'd like to say thanks for listening, and I guess if they want to add a different ending on this, they can just edit it in. So until next time, have fun.
All right, and that's it. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
And from this point forward, you just go and edit out any of Hairball's snoring, because I'm sure there's going to be hours of it. Or they put it in the bloopers. And if you save that mess from earlier, put it in the bloopers, too. You know what? Just cut it here, because I'm going to give Chaz some shit. Fucking Chaz runs off and gets a blowjob during the first attempt. He didn't even, try to make it, audible on the phone, which would have been great for the bloopers.
Still searching in vain for something that lies broken and stained. out to you.
We are the animal, the animal, the animal. Hey.
Have been listening to Attic Down. The name of the song is Animal. You can check out their website at www.atticidown.com.